Good morning, everybody. It's your girl, Pastor Erica here, PE. Rise and shine for another podcast, Life, Memos That Give Life. Good morning. Do me a favor and subscribe. Tell somebody about it. It's going to be great. Finally, the podcast that gives you life. Hey there, my friends. It's your girl here, Pastor Erica, with another episode of Enough, Breaking the Silence. I am so elated to bring this particular subject to you. Of course, I will take my time with it because it's sensitive. It's sensitive to you. It's been a sensitive journey of mine. It's been a five-year process of overcoming some stuff, but it was decades of silence. You hear what I'm saying? And I kind of want to debunk some of the myths or some of the things that we call sound doctrine that has kept people in prison, in the prison of their pain and suffering. And we're not talking about domestic violence alone. Let me clarify that. I know when you hear a woman talk about breaking the silence, you're thinking automatically domestic violence. No, that is a part of it, but that is not the whole thing. There are multiple ways, a plethora of ways to be suffering in a mute situation, in a mute condition, I'm sorry. It's many ways to find yourself suffering in silence, and I want to delve into that. And on this second, this first episode and second segment of it, podcast, I kind of want to ask the question. I want to pose the question. Does God demand his children to suffer in silence? You know, why would I have to ask that? Because there are different belief systems, even in what we call the kingdom, in the church. Many people believe that you should suffer in silence, and they will label it, that's your business. Don't tell people your business. Let me tell you something. There are some stuff that people go through that's so grave, you just can't keep it to yourself. You need help. You need help coming out of it. And finding safe places are hard, but they exist. They really do. And I can remember when I was walking through some of the things I was walking through. And I'm trying not to say what it is I was all walking through, because January 15th, mark the calendar, I will be going live. And then further after that, I have several interviews lined up with different radio announcers. I'll be going live to talk more about my particular testimony. Yes. And I know it's going to help so many people because you see me on the gram. And I keep trying to tell you, I live more life than you see on the gram. Anyway, but although I sound a little light, this is a very serious conversation. So yeah, I went through a plethora of levels of abuse. Yes, some are self-afflicting, some are oppressive in nature, some depressive in nature, but we'll unpack that January 15th. So do me a favor while you're on. I want you to click on our private group, join there, because this is where everything will be. I'm making this particular podcast public because I want you to get over to the group. Alrighty. So a lot of people use Psalms 39 and 9 to justify suffering in silence when it says to be quiet, to, you know, but is that what God demands of his children? That we suffer in silence? Huh? I'm sure people meant well in their beliefs, and however Psalms 39 should be digested in context. People, when I would begin to talk to them about some of the levels of abuse I was experiencing, I was getting all types of erroneous doctrine that kept me bound. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, you need to be more meek. Oh, you need to do this. Just take it to God in prayer. Yes, I took a lot to God in prayer, but also I needed to be able to take some things to the authorities. Oh my God, I'm talking to somebody or some other places. Anyway, King David had already explained his hesitation to speak in verse 1 of Psalms, you know, Psalms 39 and 9. He said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. He wanted to make sure that anything he said before those who did not believe or know the Lord yet wasn't misunderstood, taken out of context, or perhaps used to justify their unbelief. So he was saying he was suffering silence. That means some stuff I'm just not going to say right now to make sure I'm not mistaken. But we've taken that text, that verse, 39 and 9 in Psalms, and made it where, oh, God needs me to deal with this in silence. And some people are dying within. And sometimes we don't know they were in pain until we're at their funeral. We didn't know they were hurting until the divorce happened. We didn't know how miserable it was until we're at one of their children's funerals. Come on now. Or till there's a big domestic dispute or something worse. Or till they're locked up. You know, we can name a plethora of things. You know, David was just trying to be prudent about his word. That's why he explains his hesitation in verse 1 of 39. However, that was hardly the end of the story. David ended up stating in the very next verse that when we remain mute, he said, when he remained mute and silent, he grew, his sorrow grew worse. Psalms 39 and 2. Go read it. When he remained mute or quiet and muzzled and silent, his sorrow grew worse. It's not helping you to sit there and be quiet. Oh, I know it's not. And I know I'm talking to you. I got this. Now, there's so many reasons why we get quiet. And I'll talk about that later. There's so many reasons why we get quiet. But it's not helping you because the sorrow grows worse. This is why in the remainder of the beautiful Psalms of Lament, David records how he speaks openly to God about his pain. For example, in verse 3 and 4, he proclaims, my heart was hot within me. Dude, while I was musing, the fire burned. When I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me know the end. Make me know my end. And my tongue, Lord, make me know my end and what is the extent of my days. He's like, man, he felt so miserable. Do you see this? Let me know how transit I am. Wait a minute. You see what I'm saying? He began to openly speak about how he really felt later on. Like, God, please let me know when this gonna end. Let me know when do I die? When is all this gonna end? You know how you get, you suffer in silence and you think all of these things without the aid of the Lord. But if you bring it to the Lord, so much help gets to come in and rescue you. This passage describes an approach to suffering that is anything but suffering in silence. Our God invites us to come directly to his throne room with our pain. You can speak out. You don't have to be quiet about it. And I love the fact that God even gave us strategy on how to engage, strategy for deliverance. He wants to see you free on this side. And oh, let me help you. Suicide is not the answer. Not at all. Running away don't help a thing. Sometimes we got to confront our giants with the word of the Lord on our lips and with all of heaven's, the host of angels as our circumference surrounding us. I don't believe we should suffer in silence. There you have it. That's my thought on it. Well, I'll be unpacking this a little more. And so I want you to join me for the journey as we talk about getting well for real. What should I speak about? What shouldn't I speak about? What does breaking the silence look like? Is it action? Is it verbal? What is it? We'll unpack that on this journey. Join the movement. Click on our private group. That's where I'll be going live January 15th. at 7 p.m. Central Time, Central Standard Time. And of course, there'll be many other interviews to come, like I said. Of course, if you want me to come speak at your church, your venue, whatever, I want you to go to ericadeshawn.com. It's on my Facebook page. If you want to connect further and maybe seek out mentorship, then go to myechocommunity.org. Alrighty, until next time, bye now. Life.